inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
And welcome back, yakkers. Hope you had a wonderful week. I know I kind of did.
I've had an exhausting week working hard, but hope everybody else had a good week.
Yeah, kind of cold and dark here, so that makes for a difficult week.
I'm assuming that's what happens in winter there.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't get any sun for months. But that's okay. I don't like the sun.
Oh, that's good. I'm not sure if I could handle total darkness, though. I'm okay without the sun, but you don't even get light, let alone sun.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the night shift all the time.
Yeah, but 24/7, that's a big night shift.
Yeah, well, it's a long night.
Very, like, months.
And we have some new Twitterers this week.
Cool.
So I've got Sharon Donahue, Tex Secular, Craig Dunn, Dave, The Lavender Lady, Peanut Gallery, Byron Anderson, IndieCast, Brendan Black, and Amelia Have a Heart.
This is also where you give your info on how to follow us on Twitter.
You usually say something, but that's okay.
I was going to, and... but... what?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'll just continue on.
And I'll say something when you're done.
All right. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, where would they follow us?
Secular Yakking?
Yeah, you got it right.
But it's at, 4 years. Right?
At Secular Yakking, yes.
Okay, see, that I don't Twitter, so, you know.
I know.
Everybody's ahead of me on that, so it's cool to see all the names, though.
Yeah, that is nice. Very cool. Anyway, we have news to cover.
Alrighty.
All right. Most of you are aware of our session with Ken Ham and his monument to the largest act of genocide ever conceived. Of course, I'm talking about the Art Park in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, it appears that he has sued the insurance company that covers his art park for $1 million.
Of course, that's funny.
So the insurance wouldn't cover all the costs to repair to a road, an access road to the park, when it was washed out by rain.
And yet, isn't this park the Noah's Ark park?
Yes. You would think he would have built it to last for at least 40 days of rain.
He obviously didn't follow the directions.
Or maybe the whole thing's made up. I don't know.
Oh, now let's not be mean.
Yeah. All right. So engineers fixed the roadway at a cost of about $1 million. But when the Ark Encounter asked for their insurance to cover the repairs, they were disappointed.
Aww.
Initially, the suit alleges that the defendants cited faulty craftsmanship as the reason for property damage and stated they were not liable.
Ooh.
Faulty craftsmanship.
Again, didn't follow the directions.
Yeah. You would think that a park that was ordained by God would have good craftsmanship.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe this is something that, you know, God decided, you know, round two.
Round two. But this just shows, I think, the problem with Ken Ham and his art park is that he used the cheapest labor he could find. So that he can make as much money as possible off of this thing. It was never... For Ken Ham, I don't think it's ever about spreading the message. It never has been. I think it's about making money.
No, that's exactly what it's about. And if you think about it, most of these, I guess you could call them leaders that are in these religious aspects, these religious settings, it all comes down to money. It's not about spreading their message. It's about the money and the power that they get from it.
Right, and Ken Ham has been doing that for a long time.
Well, there's several.
He's had the facts strung out to him on dozens of occasions, and he never listens to any of them. He just makes up his own facts as he goes. So, he lost $1 million. Oh, well, I'm not crying about it.
Well, and he can probably cover it anyways. It's just he's a cheapskate like any other wealthy person with lots of money. They want as much money as they can get, and they don't want to spend a dime of their own.
Exactly. I mean, he got $18 million in deferred tax for this stupid art park from the state of Kentucky.
Oh, really?
Well, the city that it's in gave him a sales tax, some weird $18 million sales tax thing. And then they turned around and put a tax on the ticket sales, which was really cool of them.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, so he had, so being dishonest as Skinham is, he had two choices. He could be truthful about his low numbers and pay a lower tax, or he could do what he did and say he had higher numbers and still try to pay a lower tax.
Of course they take that route.
Yeah, he was trying to say that, you know, kids don't get charged, but we count kids, so they don't get a ticket. But they count them for their total visitors.
Well, that seems dishonest.
Yeah, it is. What, you think Ken Ham's going to be honest about something like that? No, never.
You know, I don't understand that. I mean, I get so tired of the holy high horse that they seem to sit on, and yet they tend to be the most distrustful and dishonest, you know, moral compass my eye.
Yeah, I completely agree. They do not have a moral compass. They want to promote all their pseudo-scientific crap, and it's just wrong.
Nope, because their true God that they go to bed with is the almighty dollar.
That is correct. Anyway, moving on, I think we got a different kind of story that's going to make you angry.
Oh, that's just great.
Students at Cathedral Catholic High School in Carmel Valley, California are protesting a decision to ban skirts from the school's dress code.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. After issuing thousands of hours of detention to students modifying the length of their uniform skirts, Principal Kevin Calkins sent news of the ban to students in an email Friday, local media reported. In the email, Calkins wrote that dress code exists to foster a faith-based environment where students are focused on learning and not outward appearances.
So then they shouldn't have a problem with this. I mean, you know, based on what he said, anybody could be able to wear anything, basically. But because of what they're probably thinking, the boys are thinking, it's a distraction.
Well,
so the girls have to change.
I would be okay with the boys thinking things, but that's not the problem.
Oh, okay.
The male faculty feel uncomfortable with this.
Oh, that's interesting. That's exactly what I was thinking when I was talking about boys. I was thinking, I wonder if it's the male faculty instead of the boys.
Right. Well, they say they feel uncomfortable addressing female students about the length of their skirts. And even female faculty have expressed frustration with the ongoing challenge of dress code. Because so one of the problems is, well, the girls are pushing the 3-inch above the knee limit.
Right.
And so that's become a problem.
And they were getting detention for this, is what you're saying?
Yes, because they broke the dress code by being, say, 4 inches above the knee.
Right.
But therein lies the problem. Who cares how far above the knee is? Honestly,
I mean,
because you shouldn't be sexualizing these girls just because their dress is a little short.
And in all honesty, there does need to be a limit to the shortness of a skirt. I agree with that. If you can see what they had for lunch, that's too short.
Well,
but
that's different.
Give me a break.
These girls, that's not what they're doing.
Right.
They're taking these skirts and they're just shortening them a little bit.
Right. No, I totally get it. I went to Catholic school. I understand the whole dress code scenario. It's, I don't know. I think it's like they should just put us in burkas and they'd be happy. I mean.
Right. Well, I don't see the solution being much better, honestly.
Yeah.
So they can wear pants, capri pants, or Bermuda shirts, shorts.
Shorts, yeah.
Yeah. And,
but. Wait, so are they're not allowed to wear skirts at all?
Right, no skirts at all. Skirts are being banned.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Right. That's why I hate dress codes at school. It's one of the reasons I hate dress codes at schools, because it limits what people can and can't wear.
Hell, not that long ago, women weren't allowed to wear pants. They could only wear dresses and skirts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's always the women that are getting prosecuted on their dressing. And it always pertains to the fact of how a man is thinking of this woman in whatever outfit she's wearing. But yet the woman has to be the one that changes.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. It always has been. In fact, this is no different. So male students can wear pants or shorts. It doesn't say they have to wear Bermuda shorts, just shorts.
Oh, so that's a kick in the pants. No pun intended. Yeah. But so, it has to be Bermuda shorts, not regular shorts, because those would be too short, hence shorter than what their skirt would have been.
Exactly. All because these male faculty don't feel comfortable looking at their legs. Well, then stop looking at their legs.
It's because they can't control their own selves.
Right. So they make them change their dress code so that they don't have to deal with it, which is just stupid.
It's wrong. And it's not right that I am so tired of women having to change the things that they do or the things that they wear to suit because whatever the hell a man is thinking. And that goes the same with what's going with politics right now. It's the same damn concept. It's just crap.
Right. Anyway, the dress codes have been a sore spot of mine for a very long time, and I think they'll remain a very sore spot of mine. Been through
that. Yeah, I always had mixed feelings about, you know, say like uniforms in public schools. On one hand, I get it because, you know, one kid doesn't get picked for wearing clothes that, you know, aren't the new savvy stuff. It's poorer clothes or aren't whatever. But on the same sense, everybody does not fit into one freaking box. Life doesn't work like that. And they should have freedom of expression.
Right. And the sooner we let our kids understand that not everyone fits in that box, the sooner they understand that in the real world.
Which is essential because I'm sorry, the 12 years you are in kindergarten to, well, 13 years, kindergarten to 12th grade when you graduate high school is a blink in the time of your life. I mean,
yeah, it really is.
And of all the times to be put in boxes and categories and told you can't wear that skirt because that adult guy over there is thinking bad things, you know, this is a horrible time frame for that kind of thing because it shapes their adulthood.
Right. So they come out thinking that all guys will just look at them like sex objects.
And unfortunately, on the other hand, that's exactly what they do because I can even
It teaches boys that they're allowed to look at them as sex objects.
Exactly. And that's exactly.
Because
it's
they don't
twofold.
Teach them not to do it. Right. They don't teach them not to do it, so they never learn not to do it.
Right. And it's been that way for like ever. And it's the twofold. It's the guys being allowed to think that, you know, or act on the way they're thinking, or allowed to think in that way instead of being taught how to respect women and not even go there in the first place. And then the girl who's growing up her entire life constantly being looked at in that way. And I can say from my own experience, since I was in grade school, I have had incidences with male adults constantly, you know, whether saying or doing things, you know, when you're just out on a field trip with your freaking school and you're getting things going on with male adults, you know, and it's taken all the way up to high school. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, teach these men, boys, how to respect a woman and how to behave. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's really not. It's a pretty simple piece of discipline that would take care of that. And it starts from the top down.
Right. And, you know, you get rare incidences where there are men and or boys who have been taught that. And, you know, they grow up to have more successful relationships in life as well. I mean, because
in
they
general,
were raised
yes.
to what?
I said, in general, yes.
Well, I mean, for the most part, you know, they're raised to, for you know, respect women and, you know, and not treat them like objects or what have you, and they tend to have better chances of a more successful relationship, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
they're
it's not
starting
just,
off
it's
on
not just
a
about respecting
good basis.
Women, though. It's more than just respecting women. It's just respecting other people as a
primary. And that's just the right. No, I totally agree. And and what seems to be the case is when they are taught that and they have that kind of personality where they were raised to respect women, it kind of goes par for the course that they automatically as well respect just people in general as a human, as, you know, just basic humanity. And it just kind of comes with being raised to respect others regardless, you know?
Yeah, completely agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next story.
Okay,
you remember the kids show on do you remember the kids show on PBS called Arthur?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been around for a while, so hopefully you do, if you're out there. And there's been a bit of a kerfuffle around one of the latest episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. While the rest of the country aired season 22 premiere of Arthur, which included the same-sex wedding of two cartoon animals, Alabama Public Television instead decided to go with a less controversial rerun.
Of course they did.
Yeah. In the same-sex wedding episode, children attending the wedding applauded the fact that Mr. Ratburn was becoming a husband to a husband. Alabama Public TV had this to say about the episode. Parents have trusted Alabama Public Television for more than 50 years to provide children's programs that entertain, educate, and inspire. More importantly, although, we strongly encourage parents to watch television with their children and talk about what they have learned afterwards. Parents trust that their children can watch public television without their supervision.
So they're homophobics.
Yeah. They're saying that they don't want kids to see two gay rats get married.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, do they think they're going to become homosexual just by watching this episode? Is that their thought?
Yes. They actually think that it's something you learn, not something you are.
When are they going to accept the scientific fact of what we know on how that works? I just don't understand the ignorance of it. And it's not always ignorance. They hear the, you know, information on it and they choose to ignore it.
Well, here's the worst part, I think, about that is that they miss the whole point of the show, which wasn't, hey, look, two gay rats are getting married. The point of the show was, hey, look, our teacher has life outside of school.
Good point.
Yeah. That was most of the show was them trying to figure out who he was marrying, right? They thought it was they thought it was his sister, right? And they didn't like her. So they were trying to stop the wedding. And it turns out that when he married another gay rat, then everybody was happy because he wasn't marrying the mean lady.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch it either, but I read about it. And
right.
The wedding itself only took a couple minutes of the show and wasn't really the highlight of the show. The highlight was them figuring this out.
But like any other homophobic adult, that's like the entire show to them.
Yeah, that's all they care about was the minute and a half of gay wedding.
Yeah, out of a, what, 30-minute show?
Yeah, just ridiculous that they can't allow people to just be who they are.
That's what I don't understand. Why? What is the problem? It's not, you know, affecting them. What is their deal?
Right.
What is their damage?
And this is supposed to be public television, which is government sponsored, which shouldn't have any sort of discrimination. And there we have this huge discriminatory policy.
Well, then again,
it's not even really a
no
policy.
Offense.
It's an arbitrary decision by somebody up top.
Right. And, you know, I feel, you know, sad for people who live in Alabama who don't agree with this kind of thing. But Alabama's doing this kind of crap constantly lately.
Right. It's ridiculous. Alabama's horrible. Not as bad as Mississippi, but still horrible.
They're pretty close neck to neck. You know, it's close, not right to par, but they're close. And it just seems to be getting worse with both of those states, actually. I mean, if you don't agree with, you know, the beliefs of people running Mississippi and Alabama and the things that they keep doing, stuff like this, it's got to be a really difficult place to live.
Yeah, I imagine it is.
You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You know, this is me. You remember me? George Bailey.
Yep, we got a Bailey Award this time. Been a while since we've had one of those, like over a year.
Yeah, I like the Bailey Awards. They're not as many, but I like them.
Yep. Well, for over 5 years, Joseph Richardson has been trying to give an invocation at his hometown city council meeting in Winter Garden, Florida. But his dreams of doing so were dashed a couple weeks ago when the city changed the prayer policy so that only council members could give them. It was a 4-1 vote with a lone no coming from Commissioner Colin Sherman.
Wow. That only council members could do it?
Yeah. Which I honestly thought was a violation of the Grease versus Galloway, but it turns out it may not be. Kind of weird.
Oh, because I was going to ask, are they legally allowed to do that?
I don't think they are. I think that gives the impression that the council is endorsing the prayer because the council giving the prayer. But they pawn it off as the councils are praying for themselves.
Well, and also that excludes the public. I mean, that's basically saying the public has no voice is what that says to me.
Right.
So anyone who comes up to say their piece on whatever topic, we're not really listening to you.
Right.
I mean,
that's kind of what it says to me, which is why I disagree with commissioners giving invocations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I had a little bit of a small change of heart on May 23rd.
Okay.
Commissioner Sherman, the guy who voted against the policy, gave his first invocation. And I'm going to read it to you. Because I don't have audio of it. Because we are here tonight to serve the citizens of Winter Garden, who are comprised of people from many backgrounds, many different races, and many different beliefs. But through all these differences runs a strand of common humanity connecting us and binding us together. Because of this, we share a desire to have a safe city, a welcome city, a city full of vitality, a city for individuals and families of every stripe. May our decisions here this evening advance these common goals and improve life for all our citizens. May we always be compassionate and prudent with our actions for those who have entrusted us with the management of their city.
I like that. But here's my question. I was thinking the vote was, 4-1? If his voice wasn't there, wouldn't it just have been, one-sided?
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I don't think only council members should be allowed to do this.
Exactly. Which is why this is such an amazing thing, which is why Councilman Sherman is our Bailey Award winner.
Absolutely, for standing up to be the only one against the majority.
Well, not just that, for his actions in doing this particular invocation. Because if you listen to it, it is an incredibly humanist invocation.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? There's no mention of religion, and it talks about humanity and helping those around you and being compassionate. That is humanity in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
Right? But...
And where was this
at? It gets better.
Oh, it was in Florida. Okay.
Yeah, Winter Garden, Florida. But it gets better.
Yeah. Okay.
After the vote, a couple weeks ago, Sherman asked Joseph Richardson, the guy who's been trying to give the invocation for years, if he could write the invocation, and then Sherman would read it when he gave the invocation.
So it would be like the other guy getting a chance, but as long as the councilman reads it for him.
Right.
It's pretty sad that you have to go around that way.
Right, and that's the only way this was going to happen. They were never going to let him give an invocation.
Which is why I say I don't see how this is legal. It sounds, I don't know, it just sounds like something's wrong with this, not allowing the public to have a chance to speak, to do invocations,
right,
and to say only council members can do this? I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, that's my biggest issue with this whole decision. Well, I love the fact that Councilman Sherman gave Joseph the chance to write this and did the speech, and that it shows that there's at least some representation, someone who understands that everybody needs representation on the Winter Garden Council.
Right. Not just one-sided. And he's not even advocating for whatever his own thoughts are. He's just saying everyone should be represented. That's the point of a city council in the first place. It's not one or another. It's everyone.
Yeah, to represent equally, at least as much as possible. Not everybody can be represented, but at least give it a shot.
Well, at least leave the table open for anyone who wants to speak from all different sides gets the opportunity. That would keep it as equal as humanly possible. If, you want to stand up and say something for, your side, then here's your opportunity. Everyone gets the equal opportunity to do so. And by saying no, only council members can do so, that is absolutely not representing everyone in the community.
Right. For that reason, he gets a huge Bailey Award, because I don't think anybody has done something like this at a council meeting. Been similar things, but nothing quite like what he did.
Yeah, because a lot of times the people that are sitting up in the power chairs, as I like to call them, not everyone stands up when it's important to stand up,
Right. All right. And with that, I think that's all the yakking I got for this week.
I think I'm good for this week as well.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye! Bye.